Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. So this is the show where we'll hear clips from the football world and we'll tackle the key questions that are thrown up from them, mainly this weekend. It's our Liverpool finished? Are Leeds United the best team in the world ever?
Do you want short answers to those?
We'll get to them. Don't spoil the fun now. This is available in your podcast app. It's also on YouTube as well. Look out for Propaganda Extra as well in your podcast feed and on the website if you are a TSB Plus member. Bonus bits of propaganda. And we got so much stuff that was thrown at us in the wake of this. Like, Michael was actually forced to do some work.
Unbelievable.
For once, compiling clips and audio and putting them all on this sheet and editing them and stuff. So thank you for your hard work, Michael. Thank you for doing your job. We appreciate it. Dan Moylan with you, along with Michael Normanson and Moscow White as well. Daniel Chapman, as we do propaganda in the wake of Liverpool. And we've reshaped this show a little bit, so we didn't just have to talk about football because the football was getting quite heavy going. Then all of a sudden, it's fun again. So the first question we'll tackle then, I mean, you can tackle this in a single word if you want, Michael. Are Liverpool finished?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it?
You think so?
I think it's the only conclusion we can draw is that their ancient freaking team are all done, run out of ideas.
Let's hear first then from Anfield Road.
Fuck you! There we go. Another loss. Another loss. And the first loss at Anfield, the fans. Liverpool, once again, proving to me why they're an awful football club and Liverpool are fucking finished.
Oh, my God.
What did I tell you? The Anfield.
Oh, God.
There we go, guys. The Anfield unbeaten run of fans is officially over. Joe Gomez still on the fucking pitch. No subs by Klopp in terms of that awful defending. I told you, we're finished. Two losses in a row. Oh, my
fucking,
God.
Fucking joke. Fucking disgraceful.
Terrible football club. Absolutely terrible. Terrible, terrible football club.
At home, too. At home.
Fucking Leeds.
There's like three or four of them been shot there, isn't there, in that clip?
Yeah.
And it is just a case of basically enjoying other people's sadness here, isn't it?
No subs by Klopp. He made several.
How long does that clip, like, that's the short version. Does it persist like that for another 20 minutes?
I mean, they all go on for ages. This is the thing, when we win, there's just so much. And when you beat a big six team, as well in particular, someone like Liverpool, who do have hundreds of people all doing YouTube channels for it and stuff. When we play Palace or something, there's like three or four things to look at. Most of which don't bother publishing anything for like 3 or 4 days. So you get a bit of a gap in it. But Liverpool, there's just endless amounts of stuff.
Yeah, the record that they're talking about, it's their first top flight home defeat in 30 games. So it was March 2021 that they last...
But there were no fans in.
But then even that, so when they did lose with fans in, when was it? 2017 or
2017,
something?
2017, yeah. I think it was like Palace or something.
It's a good run, but in terms of history and Liverpool being such a special club, loves its history, you know, it's not.
Yeah, but that doesn't make for good YouTubing, does it? You've got to heighten everything.
Was that good YouTubing?
Well, let's
we're going to choose to discount the bit where we did lose some games. And also, you know, with fans in, because obviously, as we heard, the amazing atmosphere.
Well, I mean, when you've got those guys just absolutely full of passion and fight and fire and everything that you want. It's no wonder that they've been so well supported with them cheering on the boys.
Well, is this good YouTubing then? So this is football. That's not me saying this is. Mm. This is a YouTube channel called This Is Football. Guy from the Jordan, he's a Jordanian YouTuber. Feels like he had a bit of a tough day.
Yeah, he was struggling to get his stream set up in the first place, and then he was just trying to get everything going.
Yeah.
And then obviously we know what happened early on.
So, I mean, for him, it was almost over before it even started.
Let me just read the lineups before I read the comments. So, Leeds are on the attack here. Well done, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Gomez, sorry. Anyway, the Leeds lineup is... Oh, my God! Oh, my God! We mess it up royally. And Rodrigo makes it 1-0. Oh, my God. I'm literally just setting up the stream. Joe Gomez with a horrible back pass. And Rodrigo makes it 1-0 to Leeds. 4 minutes into the game, we're already 1-0 down. Are you mad? And we're already 1-0 down. We're already 1-0 down to Leeds. Oh, my God. Bro, I haven't even read the lineups yet.
It's a classic of the genre, wasn't it? Of the old repeating the same thing over and over again.
And also, like, he thought they'd done him a discourtesy to not let him read the lineups before scoring. It's like, well, you kind of got to get on there a bit earlier.
I very much enjoyed the, well done by Gomez. And then you know what's happening.
I mean, it was good. He got the ball for Aronson, didn't he? But
it was a good assist by Gomez.
It was very good.
Yeah, we've needed somebody to sort of take charge in the final third for a while. We've looked a little bit lacking in cutting edge.
Of course, Mendy helped us the other week, month against Chelsea, Moscow.
I mean, it is kind of the way we try to create chances.
This not the Liverpool one. We didn't even pressure Gomez. He just did it. It was great.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'd felt pressured by Aronson, but probably a good professional footballer would have not been too bothered.
It was maybe even the lack of pressure because he was too relaxed. Didn't look, didn't think. Just, first minute of the game, just roll it back to where I think the keeper probably is. And
wasn't though, was he?
No, and everyone was pointing out Van Dijk as well. He's just looking at other stuff. There was a moment on the replay you can see, you can pause it and both Van Dijk and Rodrigo both just seem to be just standing there while the ball is moving. And Rodrigo was by far the quickest to react, but there was a moment where I was just like, neither of them seemed to realise. Yeah. And it's probably that difference of being on the pitch. And obviously you've got the bird's eye view, so you see exactly what's going on. I think from their point of view, maybe the ball looked like it was going to Alisson and it's fine. And I was like, okay, stand and watch. And then you realise, and Rodrigo in like a...
Like lightning. What was he in like? He was in like a...
Well, badgers of Brendan's sort of owned badgers, hasn't he? So...
Rat up a drainpipe is the classic go-to.
Yeah.
Is owning a badger the same as dominating a pack of wine gums?
Yes. It's Robbie Rogers once did.
Right, then back to This Is Football. This is basically a first half highlight. So we've got to half time and you've done the...
This is
the montage.
It's the period of time in between. So Liverpool are at a level at this point.
Still, is he still not having a nice time?
He's absolutely furious with it all. And he's, see if you can do the maths quicker than in Moscow. I know you're a fan of maths.
Right, it's like the countdown conundrum here, isn't it?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the ping pong watch along. We are watching table tennis. This is what we're watching right now. Foul given against Nunes. How's that a foul, ref? How's that a foul, you bald bastard? You think we can get clean sheets now? Ha, 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 ha. Nice one, Peter. So tired of these people. So tired of these players. Every week they do this to us, man. Every week. Nunes, Darwin. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Darwin. Oh, my God. Darwin Nunes just had a one-on-one and kept thinking about it for 74 seconds. So tired of these bastards, man. Lord, give me the strength to deal with this game. Van Dijk cannot head a football to save his life in front of the opposition. Also, respectfully to all the Dutch people, like, I'm not Dutch. I'm a Liverpool fan. I care about Liverpool Football Club. I don't care about Holland. I hope they get kicked out the group stages furthermore. I don't care. Still, Leeds blocked back again. Leeds across again. Look at us. Look at us scrambling. Look at us scrambling at Anfield against Leeds. They've lost 4 games in a row. They have had 7 attempts and we've had 4. They have had 7 attempts in 37 minutes at Anfield. Let's do quick maths. 7 attempts in 37 minutes equates to what? Quick maths. Very quick maths. almost an attempt every 5 minutes. Leeds United has an attempt every 5 minutes on the Liverpool goal. Leeds United. Not Barcelona, not Bayern Munich, Leeds.
This is Leeds at home, you guys. This is Leeds at home.
Joe Gomez just got bullied by Aronson. Joe Gomez has become the Tyrone Mings of Liverpool Football Club. And it's Liverpool 1, Leeds 1, because we absolutely suck.
There we go. Did you concur with his maths, Moscow?
Yeah, I think I got him just because I knew that 35 divided by 7 is 5. So I knew it was 5 and a bit. But I'm not doing the rest of it.
Oh, no, every 5.
Have you not taken it to some decimal points for us?
Like 5.15, probably. Sounds about right when you're dividing 2 by whatever it would be.
We had a detour there via Holland as well, and you have got your Netherlands shirt on today, haven't you? Is it an authentic one or is it a knockoff?
What do you think? I mean, it's from...
You will see this on the video. It's the 1988 Van Basten shirt, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... I think
little Jimmy Somerville was a mere twinkle of a twinkle in his father's eye back in 1988.
Yeah.
So how's it a tribute to him?
Same country, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll do. And I like the shirt. But yeah, he's basically annoyed at everyone. So then even when he can't do maths himself, he's shouting it himself, isn't he? He's like, come on, quick maths. It's like, it's only you that's going to be doing this. You're going to have to work this out for yourself. And the referee, not bald.
No, he's not bald. And I liked the ping pong live stream. That's good because everybody just goes for basketball and it feels quite lazy. Mm. So I think moving it on to ping pong is good.
Yeah, different spot. Excellent.
Could see him turning on Van Dijk as well after they all loved him. Like, well, 2 months ago, something like that.
Well, he would, because, I mean, he's the best defender in the world. He's just out of form. So seeing how quickly people just forget every good thing he's ever done for them is hilarious.
There's lots of confusing fan channels, because we've had Anfield Road, there's Anfield Rap coming up, Anfield Agenda, lots of Anfields.
Mm.
And think of something else, maybe. Ping Pong Road, yes. Next question is, are there any sensible Liverpool fans? You actually managed to find... some then, Michael.
I mean, there are quite a few in fairness, but they're just not as fun to listen to because it's just some people going, oh, we should probably sign some midfielders.
Well, let's counterpoint the shouting with something sensible now and then we'll get back to the shouting, shall we?
Leeds United and Nottingham Forest. I mean, if you're an elite level football team, you should be licking your lips at those two games and thinking, right, there's no other outcome other than 6 points across these two games, and you kind of lay a marker down early doors. Leeds are on a really, really poor run. They haven't won since August. So if you go ahead early, the way they are with their manager at the minute, although what I will say is the players are still fighting for them. The fans may not like him, but the players are still fighting for him. You see that both during the game and after the game. But you can't take hope away from Leeds United very early on. If you play your sensible game, your normal game, you hit the levels that you expect of this Liverpool team, they could crumble and it could have been another 3 or 4 or 5, but we're a million miles away from that at the minute.
Are Liverpool an elite level team?
Well, that's the key question from that, isn't it? If you are, you beat Forest and Leeds.
Mm.
There's a lot of, this is Leeds United. This is Leeds United Football Club.
That was Anfield Rap, by the way. We're up against them for... the Fan Media of the Year Award, voting for which is closed now, by the way. So thank you if you did vote for us in the FSA shortlisting. We'll be down there in a couple of weeks.
Mm. I feel when we don't win it, I fully intend to go full Trump on it and say it's rigged.
Yeah,
that's,
fine.
It seems the obvious way to... Yeah. That's the way you lose these days, isn't it? Just claim you did win, actually.
Sensible analysis, that, Moscow?
It's probably quite difficult from their point of view because they were going for a quadruple 6 months ago when that started falling apart.
Was kind of less, wasn't it? I think they were still pretty much in everything till about May, weren't they, last year?
Which is 6 months ago.
Is that 6 months?
Yeah. 11.
Oh, you're joking.
I can do 11 minus 6.
It's November now. Don't have to break this to you. I know the planet's fucked and it's warm outside, but even still.
And to move from that to losing to you know, we were where we were at the start of the game in the relegation zone, must hurt. But good. They should have signed Calvin Phillips, shouldn't they, looking at their midfield? They needed, Manchester City didn't really need him, but that's... just Manchester City's policies is buy loads of players and have them. But that's where they are suffering. They look slow and plodding and uninterested and, you know, just rubbish. It is kind of, you know, not to take any of the edge off our win, it's like they were pretty bad. A lot of that was, you know, you'd like to think a lot of it was us making them be bad, but also Nottingham Forest beat them. So it's kind of like, what are Liverpool? And I suppose from our point of view, it's not such a big deal because we can... take the pleasure in the win and then we beat Bournemouth and then it's all fine. But Liverpool, you're looking at, who do they actually play next?
Spurs, I think.
They've got Europe they've got Champions League tonight, aren't they? And then, okay, Spurs.
I definitely came across Liverpool fans saying, and we've got Spurs coming up, so right. Whether it's next or soon.
And Klopp's been saying today, hasn't he? I've seen quotes that scroll past me on Twitter saying that he's been laying awake at night wondering how to solve their problems.
No, he's been pissing with Somerville on his mind.
Is that right?
Well, that's a conversation for off air, isn't it? Let's hear from Andrew.
No, it's on air. He said that he's in his... Now, because he's in his 50s, he has to get up a couple of times in the night to go to the toilet. And when he is doing that, he is thinking of Somerville's goal.
Great.
Which is great. It is wonderful. Imagine, you know, that bathroom just lit up by the... Maybe there's a little nightlight reflecting off his teeth that I bet illuminates the room.
I bet he's got one of those little, like, a red LED ring in his toilet so he can see where he's aiming. But actually... Just is a smile, doesn't he? And then the whole room is illuminated.
Yeah. And then he looks in the mirror and Somerville appears, wanging his shirt around his head. And then he sees Jesse Marsh walking down the touchline, banging his wrist at him. And he has to piss while all this is going on. And maybe it prevents him and he has to get up again. If he looks, if he is on the touchline, wherever Liverpool are, it's Napoli, isn't it? They're going to get spanked.
Mm. I think they're at home to Napoli, aren't they?
Looking as tired as Jesse Marsh did on Saturday, we'll know it's because he's been trying to piss and unable to all night, every night since Saturday.
And now you've got the picture of Jürgen holding little Jürgen in his hand in the dark of the night. Let's move on to Anfield agenda. Not quite so measured.
Hell, we could have won the game, yada, yada. But ultimately, Leeds have just fucking won it. Leeds have just won it. Right there at the death. Jesus! All came from us dicking around at the back again. Two lads out there with them. Look at this dickhead defender. Look at the state of this. Honest to God, lads. If I had a group of 10-year-olds who defended like that, I'd sub them all off. That is shocking. Shocking.
Good.
Yeah, excellent.
Seems a poor attitude towards youth coaching. You learn through mistakes at the age of 10. You don't just sub them all off.
And you can't sub them all off. There's limits.
Yeah, is as whichever... whoever is employing him to look after their academy, maybe have a word.
What do we do with Jesse now? Let's talk about Leeds, not Liverpool. Because, we saw as Boney M has pointed out actually in the feedback, say what you want about Marsh. I definitely enjoyed the Booyaka Shah celebration.
I knew it wasn't air guitar when you've seen it as air guitar.
Well, it was hard to tell exactly, wasn't it? And Jesse himself has left it ambiguous because he, I think he Instagrammed it or did he tweet it or both, saying, I don't know, I just got caught up in the moment. But it looked like the old...
Yeah, he was giving it some of that.
The old Ali G.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's Ali G used to do.
It turned into a big kind of Bruce Forsyth arm gesture at the end. So it was a weird combination.
But it did look like the left hand was on a fretboard as well, it has to be said.
The best part of it is the moment that the ball goes in the net, because his eyes pop out like a cartoon character about 6 feet from his face. He genuinely cannot believe what's happened. And there's almost like a split second moment where I think he almost wishes it hadn't happened, because you know something is going to cause such a change that you can't process in the moment what is now going to happen next. And something in his face is just like, oh shit, we've scored. And then he's like, that's a really good outcome.
Yeah. You can see his actual cogs turning, can't you, when it happens? Yeah.
Like, fucking now it's always like that. Now we've blown it. Oh no, but we've blown it in a good way. And then, he somehow managed to transform that into his... He always does these things too long. I don't mind what he does, but he has this going back. And I think it's because he tries to make sure it's seen by his players. When he does the famous one of him tapping his head, and it goes on for ages because he wants to make sure all the 11 players see it. And he does that with celebrations as well. They always keep going and going and going. You think, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? And
it's a bit like hanging a high five and then nobody noticing, so you leave it there. And you leave it there.
And then eventually somebody will come and do it. But it's fun. It's nice to see him celebrate.
I think he can celebrate how he wants under those circumstances. And for as long as he liked, did say on the match ball, he could have been helicoptering in front of the away end at full time for me. I don't really mind. Jelly is having an existential crisis about this, saying, what the fuck do we want to happen now? I was sure I was fucking sick of Marsh and penis ball, but now I've just booked in to get his portrait tattooed on my back. Fickle football bollocks. Get the fuck in.
Yeah, I know Michael has come in his Somerville tribute Dutch top. Anyone watching on YouTube will see I'm wearing the same light grey crew neck jumper. Yeah. I think probably not quite as expensive as Jesse Marsh's, but he needs to get to Uniqlo and save a bit of money. I've also,
Uniqlo,
as part of my tribute, nailing my colours to his mast. I am too. I've decided to start looking 20 years older than I actually am. So that's also part of my redoubling my commitment to Jesse Marsh at Leeds.
You don't think Jesse looks good for his age?
He did until he came here.
Well, yeah, he's got a bit of a haunted look about him now, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Good. Well, if we all have to suffer it, so should he.
His handshake with Klopp at the end, where he kind of... It reminded me, I've just realised, I now know exactly what it reminded me of. You remember that clip of Jimmy Bullard when Duncan Ferguson is going mental and Jimmy Bullard kind of walks up to him and looks at him like, you all right? There was a bit of that in... that's what Jesse Marsh reminded me of, where he kind of goes over to Jurgen Klopp and he dare sort of look him in the eye in case Klopp just punches him, like handshake. Little look, and then it's like, no, I'm not
just
looking away.
Just looking in your peripheral vision, just to make sure there's not a haymaker coming around the corner.
Yeah. The teeth flying at you with the wind up going. And then it takes, I think it's Mark Rocker who sort of snaps him out of this trance that he seems to have gone into. But, well, I mean, he wasn't going to get sacked, win, lose, or draw unless it was like a 10-0 defeat. So we are kind of in a similar, same situation of it's all on Bournemouth. But he goes into Bournemouth sort of, I mean, it's hard because in one sense it should be better because there's not the expectation now that we'll just get beaten, that if we'd lost at Liverpool, you just go in the Bournemouth game thinking this is going to be another defeat, and then he has to go because even if you want to see the project work long term, you've got to have some wins sprinkled in along the way to keep that going. But also, we've had this before where we beat Chelsea and we played so well against Arsenal and didn't follow it up, and there's still the need for the result there, because if we don't get it, it's just back to sort of where we were at the start of the week, where we've got 3 points from a different game. But the problems that we've had have been against teams like Bournemouth that we can't break down. So can we solve that is kind of the next thing. It should be easier to solve that from this new base of we've beaten Liverpool and everybody is in a much, much better mood.
Everyone's dead happy. And that's a good thing. I thought
if he can use that. I mean, we were saying last week that the best outcome for all of this is if he just starts winning games and then we don't have to go through the rigmarole of sacking him. We don't have to go through, you know, finding somebody else. And then the fucking hours I spent listening to Jesse Marsh podcast in the summer.
I like how you're really personally aggrieved at the fact that he might get sacked before. Well, yeah, all that research was useless.
You put all this effort into finding out about somebody and then they're gone before you know it. And then you know that, and it's also the fear that if we get into that cycle of just sacking somebody in October and November, that we'll just do the same thing next year. We'll be Aston Villa and, you know, another one will turn up and, Steven Gerrard, I'll save us. Oh,
watermelons, you know, watermelons, Moscow.
Yeah, a slightly longer term watermelons. So the better result was just Jesse just wins all the games.
For all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
For all the reasons, actually. Let's hear from Matt.
I won't go as far as saying that last night made the previous 8 games worth it, but I think after the Fulham game, you really got to give Marsh a lot of credit to pick himself up and the players up as well in the way that he did. And to get that performance, albeit against a pretty average Liverpool team on the day, and a team that maybe appears to be in decline, just fantastic.
It's nice to be happy, isn't it? Walk the 92, presumably one of our charity walkers, says, I'd just like to make a comment on Marsh's demeanour during the game and in the press conference after. He looks absolutely physically and mentally spent, which, as we were just saying before, that's how the rest of us feel most of the time with this football club, don't we? I mean, that is the next question. Are Leeds United trying to kill us?
I mean, I will say with being, it's the same as for the rest of us, but there's not personally any focus on us being bad. Like, we just have to suffer Leeds losing. But, you know, we don't have to walk around the stadium being booed afterwards and that sort of thing and have to be wheeled out to answer questions about why you're so shit. Which I think must take its toll.
There's a unique focus brought about by it, isn't there, in football?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, obviously the Leeds effect is one thing, but just the Premier League effect is another. And I think Marsh, even going back to Leipzig, where the way he talks about it is kind of like that the club, Leipzig as a team had moved on in a different way that the rest of the RB organisation had not. So he kind of came up through the ranks of all the RB clubs playing the in-house style and then came to the pinnacle and found that they were doing something different. So nothing he did worked. And so he was there for 3 months and then at the same time, his wife had her illness as well, which wouldn't have been easy to get through. And then he comes to Leeds. And I think there's been an element with Leeds of sort of week by week, and England, week by week, month by month, of having his wings clipped, of him trying to do things and people sort of stopping him. And I think one of the big things is...
Is that a deliberate Red Bull reference, having his wings clipped?
No, it wasn't. Oh. But
well noticed, though. I didn't.
One of the big examples is his touchline demeanour, because it built and built with him going, oh, this is psychology 101, and I'm getting in the referee's heads, to the point where he got sent off at Brentford and he has a one-match ban, and it's getting so much attention. And he just had to take that and be like, I can't do that anymore. And he acknowledged it. He's like, I'm going to have to rethink this. And since then, the Arsenal game was the big one, when there was so much VAR drama and all that kind of stuff, and he was visibly standing back, restrained, but like that last minute VAR check for the penalty, when he was just hands behind his back, looking up in the air, like, don't get involved, don't get involved, don't get involved. And that's got to be tough to change what he's been doing. Because if you look at videos of him managing New York Red Bulls, 10 years ago, however many years ago he was doing it, he's in everybody's face, he's starting fights with Patrick Vieira on the touchline, he's running about, he's energetic, and he's having to change all these things. I think part of the reason why he does look a bit stunned is because, you know, he's had this trajectory of winning all the time, and suddenly it's like, that don't work.
Yeah,
you got to think of something else.
Well, actually, it does feed back into the questions and the feedback we've been sent. Ben being one of many who asked, why can't we do this every week? But also adds, it's so nice waking up on a Sunday without being miserable and or anxious.
We're not playing Liverpool every week.
And obviously, loads of people in that gallows humour way that Leeds United do are saying, we'll obviously go and lose to Bournemouth, which is the joke that I made running into this, saying, well, we'll beat Liverpool, but then lose to Bournemouth. It's just, that's the Leeds United way.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is actually genuinely a good reason for us to be a bit more normal, because we received this from Daniel, which this one tugs on the heartstrings and makes you worry about Leeds United fans in general.
Good Christ, lads. I was in the hospital in A&E during the Watford game when I had a stroke. I'm very young, 26. And then I've just recovered from heart surgery, which was on Thursday, and I had to watch that. I said, I might have to go back in to see if my heart's still there. It's ridiculous. What a game. Rodrigo's still shit. I remain confident in that.
Poor Rodders. Stroke at 26. Jesus.
And then heart op.
Yeah, I mean,
best of luck to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're supporting the wrong club.
But yeah, maybe not, frankly. Maybe not football.
Yeah.
Get into golf or something. Yeah. Something you don't have to worry too much about.
Yeah, because you'll help to build your heart strength by walking around the golf course.
Just a nice stroll.
Yeah. I've got even golf on telly. Less stressful than Leeds United. Jesus, man.
It's funny about Rodrigo, isn't it? He was awful. You know, it's in the first half how many good attacks we had that he just messed up and just kept giving the ball back to them. We'd probably, I think at least one of their good chances came from Rodrigo just giving them the ball. And then,
yeah. Every time he looks to make a pass, he looks like he's in his own head. You know, in the way that Bamford is at the minute, clearly in his own head. I think Rodrigo is constantly in his own head.
But then he scored that goal.
And celebrated like a kid again.
He's been scoring a lot of goals as well, so it's a strange one. He's funny.
If he keeps scoring, that's fine, isn't it?
When we were watching it, we said it's almost sort of annoying that it's him who gets that chance, because it really boosts his stats. And you're like, yeah, but it's not fair. He doesn't deserve
it's not
that.
Fair. Yeah. It's not fair. Talking about childish reactions. Yeah.
Two goals in a week that he scored into an open net. It's like, talk about Cristiano Ronaldo style stat padding.
It's what Pat needs though, isn't it?
It is. I don't know how much more, like, if we're just going to lay into our strikers for a moment, what more Pat needs from Somerville could have had an assist, never mind the goal.
Well, this is another question, isn't it? Well, we'll get into
Pat
the forward
did,
line.
Pat did get his assist.
Pat got an assist.
Yeah. Which really put it on a plate for Jimmy, didn't he? Chipping it to him at neck height.
Be nice to him. Listen, there is another question thrown up by this. Is can he find his form again? Marvin's been in touch.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of criticism of Pat after tonight. I don't think it's justified. He's evidently not fit. I think all it does is show the massive gap that we have in an out-and-out number nine. And I think that actually any criticism of it is completely unjustified at the moment because he's not fit.
Not fit. He's evidently not fit. He's certainly not sharp, is he? It feels like it's all the pieces need to fall together for him to find his form again. Like he does need one to go in off his arse or just a really easy tap in.
Or like a penalty.
Dick Van Shipvich.
I like one that's laid through. All he needs to do is hit it first time on his right foot.
Let's get on to Dick
Van straight into the corner.
Read out Dick Van Shipvich's suggestion.
It says, do you think if Pat Bamford put a left boot on his right foot, it would help him on the transition on using it for anything other than fucking standing on? Yeah, it's kind of a weird his right foot thing, isn't it? I know he's always been a bit left heavy, but like it's like he's refusing to even touch it with his right foot.
Yeah, and I'm sure if that pass comes to him in training, he'll use his right foot, and he can use his right foot. There's just, I mean, it's a weird thing because yes, we lack an out and out number nine, but only because Pat Bamford didn't do it. If Pat Bamford was playing like he did in our first season of the Premier League, 17 goals, not a problem. And so it's reasonable sort of to expect like that to come back. And, you know, he was talking himself up saying, you know, my target is to try and get into the World Cup squad. So, okay, this is the aim. Our number nine, who scored 17 goals, is going to try and get into the England World Cup squad. And it's just not happening. It still might, but...
Not in the next two games.
I don't think he's getting
in the World Cup squad.
Oh, no, I don't mean about the World Cup squad. Yeah. But he still might come back to that player because if it's fitness, it's a combination of fitness and then fitness can, like a lack of confidence in your fitness can lead to a lack of confidence in your ability and things just aren't working. And your legs feel like they're on back to front, so you don't know which one to use for whatever. We got two league games left, and Wolves in the cup. Don't play him at Wolves, play Joffy. Two games that we need to get through, and then we've got, 6 weeks off. And then the January window, we play twice.
So we've got Man City, haven't we? I'll tell you what, I'll have a look on the calendar that I've got right in front of me.
Yeah, we play at least twice before the January window even opens.
It's at Newcastle as well, isn't there?
We have
New Year's Eve.
Yes, I have it here. We have Manchester City on the 28th. We've got Newcastle on the 31st. And then it's New Year's Day after that. First day of the new year.
Mm. You're joking.
Honestly.
Again?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah.
They do it every time.
It's my mother-in-law's birthday, actually, on New Year's Day, which is very, very helpful in terms of tracking her age versus year. You know, you don't have to piss about with months.
I think the thing with Bamford at the moment is the fact he's trying to take that on his left and wanting loads of touches, contrast that with Somerville, who only touches it three times, even though it's been kind of knocked to his chest and he has to beat a defender and he has to put it in the goal. But just the sheer speed that he does it catches Alisson out. Because I think if he hits that same shot half a second later, Alisson probably sees it coming and gets his hand to it. But because it all just happens in a flash, it's there. And I suppose that's the confidence of a man turning 21, trying to make his mark, rather than a man approaching 30 thinking, fucking hell, I'm never going to score again.
Well, let's get on to the next bit then. And it's questions around Somerville and or Nonto better than Dan James, who I think probably we should have him back if we can.
Who, Dan James?
Yeah. Get more people in
let
the squad.
Stay there.
But on the evidence
he's
of
playing,
on the evidence of Saturday night, you
he's
don't
playing
need
computer games with Ollie McBurney, isn't he? Have you seen that on his Instagram? He's playing wrestling computer games with Ollie McBurney. And I don't think he should be hanging around with Ollie McBurney because he's a naughty boy. I think Dan's mum will be cross when she finds out he's been going around his house.
Let's hear from Simon.
Fantastic cross beating three people from Nonto. Would Dan James have done that? Would he fuck? And nice little knockdown from Bamford. Would Dan James have done that? Yeah, he probably would. It looked shit. And what a goal from Somerville. Absolutely superb in the bottom corner. Would Dan James have done that? Would he fuck? Anyway, what I'm saying is, James, not as good as Somerville. Trust in the process, lads. Did I trust in the process before the Liverpool game? Did I fuck?
Yeah. I think that's a good summary in 30 seconds there of life as a Leeds fan.
Can we say for certain that Dan James wouldn't have got that ball on the wing, beaten those three players with a trick, dribbled into the penalty area, gone around Van Dijk and whoever else was there, and then done a Maradona turnaround, Alisson, got down and headed it over the line.
Can't say for certain, can we?
No, I didn't see Nonto do any of that. Nonto looked really good when he came on.
That little headed touch when he beat James Milner was absolutely chef's kiss.
But even before then, like as soon as he was on the pitch, there was just an air of confidence about him and influence and sort of, I don't think Jackie Harrison played badly, but it was probably, it looked like a good substitution once Nonto was on because he was just straight on the ball and doing things with it, and most of them seems to be coming off.
Did you see the stat that it's the youngest Premier League debutant, Willie Nonto, at 18 years and however many days, months, years, since?
Was it Peter Lorimer? I think I did see this stat.
Premier League debut.
Premier, Alan Smith?
In?
2000?
No, 1998 at Anfield.
It was further than, earlier than that, of course it was, yeah. He was,
so there's a nice symmetry there, isn't there?
Mm.
Actually, and we're talking about that this week. I suppose I'm teeing it up. Teeing you up to talk about the thing.
I ain't looked at that prep sheet yet.
No, the TSB guide, it's not even on that prep sheet. I just picked this fact up and you should have just been better. The TSB guide to, we're doing tomorrow on Wednesday, where we're building a little biased Wikipedia of Leeds things, aren't we? We're going to be talking about Alan Smith's debut.
Putting a scumbastard straight in there.
Yes. So we'll be chatting about that. But yeah, Nonto.
The segue would have been one little scumbastard into another.
Yeah, like
Dan James, really. Yeah, that's what I'd have gone for.
I'll work on that for next time. There's no big question around Melier here, really. Isn't Melier ace? Yes, he is. But it's worth reading Philip's comment out, who describes him as such a special win.
Do you know, Melier...
Or it as such a special win, rather.
Melier set the new bar as well for the TSB Plus feedback ratings.
Out of tens?
Never seen anything as high as this.
Go on then.
9.38.
That is high.
As his average. It's going to be very, very tough to beat that this season, I would say.
And that should catapult him back up towards Player of the Year, that, I think.
Probably straight back to the top, yeah.
It was... I thought about Melier a bit watching Match of the Day because they put the Bournemouth game on straight afterwards. And you know the Liverpool's goal where he got a hand to the cross? So we had the corner and it went over and then it got crossed back in. He gets a hand to it and it comes back in. There's a little bit of criticism on Melier there because, you know, maybe he should have better positioning. He could have caught it or a stronger punch. It goes somewhere else. But, you know, for some reason we were just letting Alexander-Arnold and Robertson just cross all they wanted after corners, which seemed a bit of an odd tactic, but a bit of criticism there and so you think, and people do have a tendency with Melier to jump on these kind of micro transgressions. Then I watched the Bournemouth Spurs game and their goalkeeper is Travers, coming out for a corner, just runs straight into the back of his defenders, gets absolutely nowhere near the ball and Spurs score. And I was thinking, that is a goalkeeper making a massive mistake on a cross. Melier, even if he wasn't perfect on that goal and it led to, you know, Salah scored ultimately, so it costs us, but he made contact with it. He put it away from goal. There was an opportunity for a defender then to go and stop Robertson from crossing it back in. And there's an opportunity for us to have got tighter to Salah using the time that he bought us by tipping it away. As mistakes go, it's tiny and much, much better than when you actually do look at a goalkeeper at another club just blundering into the back of their centre-half because they're useless.
Well, Kiko Kassi used to do it. He was, any cross, he was so preoccupied with what was in front of him, he almost ignored the ball sometimes. He'd be busy like trying to wrestle with an attacker. You're like, they're heading it back across and they're going to score it, but you're just doing your own thing, are you?
Fair enough. Getting distracted by saying things to the attackers as well.
There was that as well.
It's just made me laugh that, Moscow, because you're saying they're defending Melier against these people picking apart the micro transgressions. You spent a little time earlier discussing the length of Jesse Marsh's celebration, saying they were too long.
No, I didn't say they were too long. I just said it's interesting how long they are. It's like that is just a thing. And I am interested in it. I like watching how long these... Now I know that they go on for a while. I like seeing how long they go on for. It's like, it's not something that I think he shouldn't do or that I don't like. I just... It's one of his weird... One of his weird quirks. And, that's how you're warm to somebody, is you discover the weirdnesses. He's probably, you know, I make no secret of the fact that me and Jesse are like chalk and cheese, although obviously now we are dressing the same. But the more sort of beaten down he looks, I think the more I like him.
Have you got any skin-tight stone-washed denim?
No, and I think that was another thing. Didn't somebody in... I think he might have been nominated as a hero that his trousers got nominated for being... He was wearing grown-up pants instead of
jeggings.
Spray-on teenage jeggings. That he was, oh, no, that was it. Age-appropriate pants. If that was you who sent that in, I saw that and chuckled because it was, yeah, it's very accurate. He looks older than he is now, but also, yeah, he's stopped trying to squeeze himself into his teenage son's trousers.
Can we use the company card to get him some of those jegging style jeans?
Get him a full Jesse Marsh makeover.
Now he's here in the pullover. I want to see him dressed like Jesse.
I want to see you pointing at a football as well, because that's the important move that he does. It's there. Yeah. It's there.
Anyway, taking it away from Trent Alexander-Arnold.
On Melier, I feel like as well, on the match ball, my impression of his saves were, they were all good saves, but saves I kind of would expect him to make. But that doesn't do justice to some of them, because the ones where he comes out and closes people down, that's because he's good at goalkeeping.
Yeah, like the Nunes one where he went through.
Like, if he can make that difficult for himself, but because he comes out really quickly and spreads himself very well, he makes those things look fairly routine.
Yeah. Probably got a bit underrated, the Nunes one, in the first half, because it was all the action came towards the end when he started. It was clear that he was keeping us in it. But that one in the first half where he really outfoxed Nunes and made sure, like, if he couldn't get his hands here, he got it with his foot there. Brilliant. And
excellent goalkeeping.
And also the classic
Spider Boy.
The one from Nunes that was a bit distant and sort of a bit Hollywood, but
they dived and tipped it.
Followed it with a wink.
Yeah.
And that's part of what
that's the sign of a man with completely unflappable confidence, isn't it?
Mm.
Which you want in a keeper.
And you caught I listened to the match ball and you caught his look during the celebrations of the goal and his face when the camera pans back and you catch him while it's all going mental at the other end. That face of somebody who's just like, my night's work has been working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, yeah. Everybody understood instinctively what that look meant, but you couldn't necessarily translate it into words. Speaking of that moment, then we've been saving the best till last, haven't we, with regards to propaganda on this. And I guess, is the question around this, was that your favourite moment of the season?
I don't know, Chelsea was pretty good. This was, I guess, more unexpected. So yeah, probably. And last minute, you can never beat a last minute winner.
Nathan had this to say.
Fuck me, what a game. Oh, geez, that's been a long time coming, that. My best mate's a massive Liverpool fan, and to have him lording it over for the ages, going about mentality monsters and champions of Europe and best team ever and all that crap, and then to go and do that to him, and to deserve to win as well, just amazing. One of the best away ends I've been in, mental goal celebrations. Still not a huge fan of penis ball. Still got glaring errors within our squad. But a day like today, you just think, fuck it. We beat Liverpool, Anfield. First time they've lost it for ages. Just get in there, Leeds. Absolutely superb.
That's the voice of a man who's been in an away end. As well.
I think that's the thing with it, because I'm still not convinced long-term about the whole thing. And you can look at the goals and be like, well, they're kind of down to errors and they did have chances. So there are many other ways that game could have gone. But we didn't play badly and we won at Anfield, so what?
And I mean, Moscow, you always remind us to enjoy stuff. Like you were saying, when it got stressful a year or two back, whenever it was, like, just enjoy it. And I've tried to take those words on board. I don't take many of your words on board, but those I definitely did. And that's the thing. There were people like trying to score points on Twitter, on forums and stuff like that, saying, where's this now? Where's the Jesse haters now? It's like, no, just enjoy the win. Just enjoy the moment, because they come around so seldom that surely you just want to enjoy this moment now on its own merits, and you can dispense with the bigger picture for a bit.
Well, I mean, this is a weird one because it needs the bigger picture to mean so much. Like, the way that match felt and the reason it had its particular sort of style of joy was because we'd lost to Arsenal and then Leicester and Fulham. If we hadn't lost those three games, it would have felt very different. It's a different feeling to if we'd been unbeaten in nine and then we go to Liverpool and win. Like the Manchester City win the other season, it felt like you're riding the crest of a wave, and that's a different quality of pleasure to what this was, which was against the odds, unexpected, last minute, nobody thought that was coming. And after Fulham and Leicester in particular, it felt like it was never happening. So it actually benefits from the darkness that came before it to make it feel better. And in a weird way, I'll probably, like, out of for pure enjoyment, I had a better time, and it's maybe a consequence of being there as well. With losing to Arsenal was kind of a more enjoyable match because there wasn't...
All right, Jesse, pumping your fists.
Yeah. We lost.
You dressed like
him. With your support, we lost.
You dressed like him, now you're thinking like him.
Because there was none of the... because Leicester and Fulham didn't exist. None of that pressure existed.
Let's get on Boohoo Man, Michael.
A really enjoyable afternoon with all the power cut and all the VAR stuff and the red cards and the getting overturned and penalties and goals and everything. It's just a mad afternoon of just pure fun. And that was just all on its own. And then the result was kind of like, oh, we lost, but we'll beat Leicester and Fulham. But yeah, this one was really like a kicking against the pricks kind of moment. And it gains from that. And you know, Jesse Marsh has proved himself now. I mean, if you want to be really, you know, we didn't win for 8 games. So I think any criticism of Jesse Marsh during that time was probably justified, because what's the alternative? What can you say?
I was going to say, you can't exactly pretend to be happy about, you know, and supportive about things when they're so visibly wrong, like Leicester and Palace. And
going into the Liverpool, like before the Liverpool game, so what did he have to defend himself with? Not much. Now he's got Ilan Meslier, who played a big factor in it. And there is, if you wanted to be ultra mean, and I don't, but that does exist out there. You say no Meslier, no points. And what do you do then? So, and then also, you know, if Liverpool were actually any good this season, what do we do then? So, but football is always full of that. You know, we play Liverpool now and we beat them because we're playing them now, and that's our prerogative. Whereas, you know, we played Liverpool.
Same with Chelsea as well.
Last season we lost them 6-0 because of, you know, maybe if we'd played this Liverpool, then everything would have been different. But that's not how it works. So just got to take...
The word you're after is context, isn't it?
Well, I think the word I'm after is, like, don't take every result as a conclusion. That doesn't mean Marsh is brilliant. It doesn't mean Marsh is terrible. I agree with the substance of Andrea Radrizzani's tweet. You know, we weren't terrible last week. We weren't champions this week. It all gets sorted out.
Is that because you're a company man?
In May. Yeah.
You're dressed like a company man now.
But he's got to... it's all very well him tweeting that, but if we lose to Bournemouth and Spurs,
1,000 quote tweets,
he'll have, yeah, because then they won't be waiting until May to see where we finish.
Right,
and so, we all still up in the air, and that's kind of why it's exciting.
We liked that minute. Red Men TV did not like that minute.
Oh no! Oh, it's a bit lackadaisical from Liverpool. Somerville shoots, and Leeds have scored. Oh, it's horrendous. I told you we had to be perfect. I said we had to be perfect and we still couldn't do it. Oh, the gift that keeps on giving is Liverpool fucking Football Club. You gang of twats. You gang of absolute twats.
I know we're here to mock the opposition and laugh at them and stuff, but there's a lot that's relatable in there, isn't there?
That is basically how you feel when you see certain things occur and you're like, no, for fuck's sake, not that, Junior.
And I said enjoying that minute, I meant enjoying that moment before.
You know the no in the background when the goal goes in? Is that like another YouTube channel on the other side of the content factory that's kind of...
the content factory.
The bleed from one YouTube zone into another. Is that the Anfield rapper over there? And then the Red Men are over here, and there's a bit of cross...
A massive warehouse.
Yeah, just with everybody in...
Near Aintree Racecourse.
Everybody in a corner just doing their YouTube channel. Can you keep it down?
Well, we've got some Steve Nicol in a second, but before we get there, let's hear more from This Is Football, the Jordanian YouTuber. This also not his favourite moment either.
The guy, I can't pronounce his name, in Tonto. Across Bamford, Somerville, shot, and Leeds have fucking scored! Leeds have scored the goal in the 89th minute because we fucking... We are so fucking crap! Leeds have made it 2-1 in the 90th fucking minute, man. Oh my God, what have we done to deserve this crap? I don't even know how to react. This guy, I cannot spell his name, plays it across. Thiago and just shimmies it. Van Dijk, and he just passed Gomez and Van Dijk like no one's there, and we concede. Fuck off, man. Fuck this football club. Fuck this team. Fuck this managers. Fuck these players. They all suck.
It's a lot of fucking, isn't it?
The European champions there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I was going to say, what have we done to deserve this? Oh, what a home defeat, the first one in a couple of years. It must be awful for you. Oh, dear me. Stevie Nicol, then. ESPN pundit these days, former Liverpool defender. And he's become a favourite of this show because of his very, very, very dour nature. And he's going right back to his roots now.
The very first clip we ever played of him.
His roots, or is it Gary Ablett's wife's roots?
Yeah, yes, torching them. Yeah, famously set fire to his teammate's wife's hair for reasons that are still not 100%.
He saw it. Because he saw his chance.
And the flamey devil called.
But unfortunately, that desire is turning in to turning the ball over.
Like desperation. Right?
Desperation. Everybody, they're trying so hard that there's no control.
Yay! It's like
there's
he's
no
just,
control.
It's like the Stones have just come on stage and have played Satisfaction there, isn't it? There's no control. Was he talking about Leeds there?
No, that was about Liverpool.
Oh, right, okay. Could have been either,
In the context of that game. But yeah.
Generally unhappy.
It's funny. At the moment, if you've seen Steve Nicol recently, he's got kind of a sling on that he's wearing because he fell over. And then he fell over again.
I bet he fell over and he just didn't want to get up.
And then
he was explaining
that he'd actually fallen over again, but onto the other shoulder. He fell over a rock whilst walking his dog. So he's fallen over again.
Just dragging his feet.
Bless him. Anyway, but he also had, for ESPN, bear in mind, he's basically slagged off Liverpool for ages. And then they said, well, we've done the player ratings. And this is him explaining it and rowing back very quickly on everything he said previously.
We asked Stevie to give us his player rankings. Oh. They're a little higher, actually, than I thought they were going to be, Stevie. Out of 10, of course. Like, Van Dijk's got a 5. That's not, Robertson's got an 8. Well, crikey.
I mean, I did get it thrown at me.
What? 20. So what?
Well, when I got it thrown at me, I was in between anger and try to calm down because we were doing the show in about 60 seconds time.
Right, okay.
So it's a little... I was a little emotional at the time.
Okay.
I might have got some wrong.
We're a few minutes into the show now. Are there regrets that you have?
No, I mean, I think Salah was all right. But
here's the problem, yeah? Salah gets a 7, I assume, because of his goal.
Yeah.
But then there was that chance where he tries to do something, goodness knows what he's trying to do, lob it into the back of the net, where you surely need your star player to shine.
Do you know what? Take no notice of it. I wasn't in a mental state. I wasn't mentally prepared to do it properly. Let me put it that way. So you know what? They were just garbage.
Give them all a 1.
Any regrets, Stevie? Getting off that floor when I fell over. I should have just let the darkness wash over me.
It's so good. It's like, yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it? Sorry.
And it's what I like about it. It's just so enjoyably like haphazard and completely unslick as well. It's TV and he's just completely subverting everything. Like, right, Stevie, what we'll do is we'll get some ratings set up for you. So we'll put them on screen on a caption and we'll run through it all a little bit later. And then he's just bemoaning the whole setup of the thing when it comes to it.
The modern trend as well is to have an opinion and then really stick with it as well on TV and TalkSport. Whatever, like you'll have like someone like Rory Jennings will still probably be on his YouTube saying, "Oh, Haaland's still no good." Or whatever.
Oh, the Chelsea simpleton.
Whereas Stevie, within 30 seconds of being challenged, he goes, "Yeah, you're right. It's bollocks."
Collapses like a house of cards.
Fucked it. Sorry about that.
Well, we've got more fun stuff over on Propaganda Extra. Loads of Leeds clips as well that didn't make it into this show. Just people being dead happy. And a little bit more of our friend This Is Football as well, who will just basically bask in the waters of his misery as well. And some good questions. Which question should we tease with now? Maybe the top one, do you think?
It's fun for you, is this?
It is, yeah. Right into my wheelhouse, this.
Yeah, who's in charge of the music after Wigfield was apparently being blasted out of the Leeds dressing room?
Oh, we'll get into all that over on Propaganda Extra. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us on this one. Watching, listening, we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.